listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
At night I can't sleep. I toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. 4 walls just staring at a nigga. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother always stressing in my living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act. But I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I'm awake, I don't see the motherfucker. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say I need to take a chill, B, but fuck that shit. There's a nigga trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window, investigating the joint for traps, checking my phone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's fucked up with your mind playing tricks on you. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live on a Wednesday, a Walking Dead Wednesday. Mm-hmm. That's right, guys. It's time for us to recap The Walking Dead here on the Black Guy Who Tips. We watched the show. We still enjoy the show.
We do.
We're the only podcast left in the game that still enjoys a rousing episode of The Walking Dead. And at this point, I'm really trying to just cover it till we're the last podcast left recovering it.
So that's the goal.
It's musical chairs in this motherfucker, and it's your move, okay? So we're gonna recap episode 2 of season 9 of The Walking Dead in a second. But of course, find this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search The Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everyone takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and an unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And this podcast brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, makers of the YouTube comedy web series Book Crushers. This week we went into Jungle Book, Gone with the Wind, and The Dead Zone. We're getting more TBGWT comments, so thanks for that, as they are especially useful for the algorithm. Thank y'all.
Yes, thank you.
Like, round of applause for you. Pat yourself on the motherfucking back. Like, that's some real shit. We love when y'all do that. It helps him out, helps us out, and you also get introduced to some, you know, hopefully some good comedy, some good, mm-hmm. you know, for y'all readers, y'all yeah. smart niggas.
Dexter does great work.
Yep, and I always include the YouTube link on our website and in the show notes, so I'll be doing that for this week's episode as well. This isn't really an ad, but I just wanted to recommend to people, if you're a podcast listener like such as myself, they got a new podcast out that just came out this week, and it's of interest to us because I'm from North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Panthers fan. Mm-hmm. But it's called Caruth.
Yeah, it's interest to me too. Because I've been a Carolina Panthers fan because I never had a football team until the Carolina Panthers. Most people down here are either they're Cowboys fans, they're Redskins fans, Steelers fans.
All right, we don't have to go through all the fan bases. No. What's going on here?
No, I'm just saying, most older people already have had their teams established. Mm-hmm. But for me, I didn't have a team until the Carolina Panthers.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to talk about is not necessarily about being a fan, but it's like a docu podcast where they go through like a crime, and the crime is Ray Caruth. The podcast is called Caruth. Ray Caruth is the wide receiver that you guys all know went to prison for the conspiracy to murder his pregnant at the time girlfriend. He would say not girlfriend, just one of the many women he was sleeping with, according to him. Mm-hmm. But man, listen, the details that either you forget or didn't come out because it wasn't admissible, or just so much, it was still kind of a new era where we didn't have the social media and stuff and readily available.
What the technology that we have now.
I still remember watching that trial, some of it, and that dude was pure fucking evil, dog. Like, honestly can't believe, you know, that. And then, like, the verdict was so weird because there's the only, like, person to get convicted of conspiracy for murder but not murder. Like, such a weird case and moment in history. But man, listening to that, listening to Sharika's mom Shonda talk about raising Ray's son, and you know,
she constantly comes out every now and then and be like, look, he ain't shit, he don't want to see this baby, like I don't know why he pretending,
right? So you know, I've seen stuff about this before, but this is an in-depth analysis from the Charlotte Observer, from David Walker, who's covered this story the entire time, you know. So to see, you know, and this is like on the eve of him, he'll be released soon.
Oh, I didn't know,
like,
that.
He'll be 44 when he gets out. He was 23 when he went in, I think. He'll be like 44 when he gets out of prison, and he'll be just like on the same streets as everybody else. It's a wild ass story, man. Oh, Monday somebody said. So wow, that's just crazy, man. But yeah, listening to that story and everything that took place, like, heartbreaking. But for you guys that like that kind of genre, I think it's a good one to check out. And if you've ever felt, because there's still people that believe that that shit was like a complete conspiracy, that he just got wrapped up in or some shit, and
he did that shit.
The lengths you have to leap to be like, this coincidentally happened to this one guy, are so much, like, you know. And there are still people that think he only went to jail because OJ didn't. Like, it's crazy. But we're not here for that. I just wanted to give a little heads up and a little recommendation if you guys are into that kind of podcast. So let's get into The Walking Dead episode 2 of season 9, which was called The Bridge. Bridge is over. The bridge is over. But a bye bye. Lowest ratings ever.
Wow.
4.95. Last time was 6.08, and that was the lowest opening in forever. But woo, that foe. They ain't had them. That's season one ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Season one, dog. I don't know what's, it might be a wrap. Might be a wrap, dog. I don't know how they gonna keep extending this.
I have no idea. Not unless it's similar to, like we talked about, Phil. What else is they gonna put in the place that's gonna rake those numbers?
I don't know.
Right.
But I know this shit costs more money, you know. I don't know. Anyway, what'd you think about this episode, The Bridge?
I enjoyed it. Was not my favorite, but I did enjoy it.
All right. I thought it was slew. I enjoyed things about it, you know, but not a memorable episode. I felt like they're setting up a lot with this, more so than giving us a story. They're just kind of like setting shit up for, like, that's gonna be bad in a couple weeks, hint hint, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Setting up some dynamics between, like, Rick and his whole, like, going down and talking to Negan thing, maybe. That was about it for me. I would not say this is a great episode, and felt more like filler to get us to something that's gonna be a bigger, like, so that we won't be like in 2 weeks like, man, these tensions came out of nowhere. Like, they're just kind of building tension, and I feel a little bit bad for Angela Kane, because I feel like what they've had to do is take the big reveal from the end of last season, which was Jesus, Daryl, and Maggie all in the room talking about Rick gotta go or some shit. Walk it all the way back to, like, no, they wouldn't just do that. It wouldn't just turn around and all of a sudden they like, fuck Rick. It would take, like, some level of continued conflict that went beyond just the war with the Saviors before they decided we don't fuck with Rick no more.
And I can understand that. It's almost like they put that story on hold. It's like, yes, that event did happen, but it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, they weren't. They knew they weren't changing showrunners. From I don't think they knew they were changing showrunners last season. Okay. When Greg Nicotero was over it.
All right. Because I don't think they would have put that there.
Yeah, I think Greg likes to do those stunning cliffhanger moments for a season, even if they're not earned.
Right.
And so far, I do like Angela Kang's pacing better than Nicotero, but this episode felt slow.
Right, and it's much faster. Even though you're right, it is slower, the shit still is a fast, slow pace.
Yeah. All right. So Rick. Oh wait. Well. So there's two things happening. One's at Hilltop. We'll do that first. And then we'll do the longer one. That's at they have this tent community that is full of like people from every group that are helping make this rebuild this bridge. Okay. So the bridge is all fucked up. So in Hilltop, Michonne arrives in Hilltop on horse. Maggie is breaking a horse or some shit. She's like teaching it how to, you know, be ridden. And the Saviors apparently were supposed to send ethanol to Hilltop and it never arrived, because Maggie said, we'll give them food but we need all their fuel, and they had to send all the labor to build the bridge, most of it. Well, apparently the ethanol ain't getting there, so now they don't have the fuel. And Michonne says, we still need you to come through with that food, though.
Yeah, because it's not going to be good if you don't.
What do you mean, not going to be good?
Yeah, like, it's going to be a problem. Like, we're going to have people starving and shit if you don't come through with the food.
Right, right. But Maggie ain't got her ethanol either.
Correct. And she's like, I don't give a fuck.
Well, her thing is, you know, we have food, we have surpluses, because Jesus comes over and he's like, Maggie, we do have surpluses, which, you know, Jesus could be annoying when you try and do the wrong thing, you know. Jesus always come over like, but you could do the right thing. It's like, but Maggie's like, they not giving up fuel, and we need the fuel to drive the tractor to plow the fields. So without the tractor and without no fuel, we can't give them food, because the surplus we have is going to be something we eat into until we get a plow out there.
Right.
To which Michonne's like, nigga, we stole a whole ass plow.
Right, what's happening here?
From the museum last week. You forgot? And Maggie's like, that plow is broke and we need the blacksmith to fix it, remember?
The one I put in jail?
Right. Earl, the blacksmith, tried to kill Maggie last week. And while he did not get the death penalty by hanging, he does have to go to jail. And from the understanding that we get in this episode later, he's been in jail for 30 days. So she has locked him up for a month. And Michonne is like, well, what's the sentence for attempted murder? Like, let him out. And Maggie's like, what the fuck you mean let him out? He tried to kill me. It's a murder, nigga.
Right, come on!
Like, I understand the show is trying to paint Maggie as like a hard ass or whatever. Mm-hmm.
But I understand her perspective. She's like, that nigga tried to kill me. No.
Right. Like, they try to make it seem like Maggie is so vengeful or and something.
Unreasonable.
Right. But I don't think Maggie's like unhinged. I think she's basically being like, why the fuck would I, why would I do that? It's murder. Like, it's gotta be rules to this shit. He tried to kill me, my baby out the car seat. Out the baby stroller and gave Enid to put her in the CTE protocol. Like,
yes he did.
Like, I don't understand why. I don't understand what y'all don't get about this.
Right, like, I'm supposed to just shake that shit off and be like, oh well, no, right. Bitch, you and in fact you don't live here.
Right. And then she kind of raised her voice at Michonne when she said all
this. Oh my god, it's coming out of her. I can call my father Jesus. Jesus, how I love him and trust him.
That's how Michonne was looking at Jesus during all this. Like, oh, it's coming out of her. I know this bitch ain't yelling at me. You want to? Do you want to get this, Jesus? Do you want to handle one of your children before I have to? So then she tells Maggie, like, Maggie tells Michonne, look, you welcome to stay tonight and take, you know, advantage of our hospitality or whatever, but, you know, I'm not giving them no food. And Michonne said, well, I will stay tonight. And Jesus just has this look on his face like, well, I'll walk you to your room, but
he ain't gonna change nothing.
He looks scared of Maggie too. So then Tammy, who is Earl's husband,
you mean wife?
Oh, husband, wife, sorry guys. Tammy, because I don't see gender and like patriarchal roles like that, guys, like you guys do.
I would have no problem if that
husband, wife, to me it's all the same thing.
If that's
okay,
how
guys,
they were presented, I wouldn't have a problem at all.
Alright, I just that's how woke I am. It's mm-hmm. like I just call people the wrong thing on purpose. So then Tammy comes down to the makeshift jail, which only has Jesus as a guard at the moment, which okay. And she's like, Jesus, I want to see my man. Let me see Earl. And Jesus is like, look, man, you know I can't let you see Earl. Right. You know, Maggie tripping. And it's been a month. She's like, I ain't seen my husband in a month. I can't even have visitation. And Jesus said, you know, this is a privatized prison industrial system.
Come on.
It's going to cost $150 on his books if you want to talk to him through Skype. Or face chat, but you cannot talk to him directly. We will FaceTime you later, ma'am. And she is pissed. She's like, I don't want to hear this bullshit.
Right. She was like, in fact, I'm going to sit my ass right here.
Right. Yeah, she didn't give a fuck. She was like,
I ain't got nowhere to go.
I ain't got, my boy is dead. I ain't got no job.
Number time on my hands.
Right. She's like, I'm gonna sit right here.
I wanna talk about the things I've done, but I'm reclaiming my time. Yeah. You wanna speak on the battles I've won, yes. But I'm reclaiming my time.
She was like, I'm reclaiming my time. And
I love it.
Sit my old white ass right here on this seat until you or Maggie change your mind about me seeing my man. And she wasn't asking for his freedom.
No.
She was just asking, can I see him?
Correct.
And I gotta say, I kinda get the point.
Me too.
Because they don't have rules, but essentially you putting this man in, solitary confinement.
I'm in isolation, yeah.
Yeah, until Maggie feels like it's enough time.
Right. And that's what happens when you don't have shit written down in rules and regulations on shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the governor, it's kind of Deegan, it's kind of any dictatorship we've seen in the Z-Pac shit, Shades of Rick at times, where mm-hmm. one person decides I make the decision for everybody, and then it's like, well, then who says what is fair when we disagree with you?
Right.
You know, and I think visitation is not some crazy shit, but then Jesus had a good point, which was he tried to kill Maggie. Chill. All right, a month might be a little too light of a sentence for attempted murder.
You don't say.
Michonne overhears all of this, and then she goes to talk to Jesus about it and pick his brain, and she basically does a thing where it's like, do you really support Maggie? You agree with all this shit? Like, are you sure? And we know one thing about Paul, aka Jesus. That nigga don't agree with nobody in charge. Ever.
But he's like, I don't want to be in charge, so I will go with whoever's in charge. I will follow them because I don't want the responsibilities of being in charge.
Right. Now, he don't mind dying for your sins, but he not gonna tell you what to do.
Nope, free will.
Okay, he gives you free will, but he gonna always be like, you doing the wrong thing. And that was his thing with Maggie, was like, she doing the wrong thing. I mean, I don't think she should be so harsh out here killing motherfuckers and shit, but at the same time, it's her colony, she running it. I'm backing whatever her decisions are. And it kind of reminds me of Jesus when Greg was there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, Greg is horrible, please Jesus be the leader. And Jesus would be like, man, I ain't trying to be no leader, I'm just trying to, like, you know, do my thing, karate chop some zombies in the head and shit. And everybody's like, nah, nigga, you need to step up and lead, because Gregory is a slimy ass dude. And I kind of have to put a lot of this on Jesus, because I don't think you get to a point where Maggie gotta kill Gregory and shit if Jesus intervenes way before then. But Jesus like to sit back and play defense.
True. And also, I can kind of see his perspective, because being in charge ain't no joke. Mm-hmm. So it's like, look, I don't want any of y'all thrusting something on me that I don't want. I want the freedom to be able to come and go. I don't want the obligations. There's a lot of responsibility and shit that goes along with being in charge. And he was like, I am good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not right. You're not wrong.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight the current leadership because see, that's the thing. He's not about starting a riff. You know, he's not about dividing the government, but at the same time, he's like, I don't want to run it either.
Yeah, he's just always sitting in the background.
Ready for my salad?
He's always sitting in the background like that, like right in front of my salad.
Yeah, and the thing is, he might not like what you do, but he'll like express like, hey, you know, it's another way of thinking about this. Hey, you know, you might want to consider this. So it's not like he don't voice his opinion and let you know that, hey, it might be other alternatives. Now, it's up to you whether you listen or not, but, you know.
He's always getting that, he's always getting that, like, what do you call it, Lee Trevino and Happy Gilmore, like, face of just, he always there when you make the harsh decision, and they cut to his face, and he's always, like, shaking his head, like, I can't believe this nigga would do this shit. No, I don't want to be in charge, and I don't want to say what the right thing is to do, but I just can't believe that's the choice you made.
And the person in charge, particularly with designs like this, like you said, it's a dictatorship. Mm. They don't give a fuck. Maggie's mind was already made up. What was he going to say?
And he says, I don't know if Maggie hanged Gregory for everyone, for herself, or both.
Right.
But I'm not against a grieving mother seeing her husband. Like, such a middle-of-the-road ass Paul Ryan answer. And so it's like them Republicans to say, I believe women, but not this bitch.
Not her.
But he does say that he trusts Maggie to make the right decision, and no one's gonna be right all the time, not her, not me, and not you. And of course Michonne, who's on her Abraham Lincoln shit, is like, and that's why the fuck we need a charter, because we need to build something bigger than any one of us. We need to have like some shit in place. And Jesus does think about it, like he doesn't, like it does hit him in the chest, but he's like, I can't help you. In Maggie's office, Jesus tries to appeal to her better nature while she plays with Herschel. Apparently they're still getting letters from Georgie, who you guys may remember as Sally Jesse Rodham Clinton from last season.
Pantsuit lady.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, those are old letters from Georgie. And Jesus is like, would you join Georgie's group? Cause Georgie is trying to recruit Hilltop to some group that she has. And Maggie's like, nah, we do what's best for us, and I don't want to be in that group. To which I'm like, interesting. Maybe the Alexandria Coalition would have some competition if Hilltop could join some other collective. Could that be something they're setting up in the future where Maggie's group is like, we're no longer fucking with y'all?
Correct.
It's Hilltop and these other niggas. Stay away from us. But then he brings up that Tammy asked to see her husband, and Maggie's like, and he's like, you know, because we need some rules in place, blah blah. She said, you've been talking that bitch Michonne, ain't you? You could tell she
sound
was
just like her.
Yeah, he's like, you sound like Michonne, you've been talking to her, ain't you? And he's like, I mean I've been talking to her, but that, you know, this still right and wrong. And she was like, you know, you really be second guessing all my harsh penalties. Like, you think I'm wrong about Negan, you think I'm wrong about Gregory, and you thought I was wrong about Earl. And I'm like, this is why I believe Angela Kang is having to clean up the mess from Nicotaro, because Jesus was in the room for the Rick ain't shit meeting. So for him to be like, for her to be like, you think I'm wrong about Negan, kind of implies that he would have not been on board with the fuck Rick up plan. So now I'm like, what was the point of that scene? Right. And if he's not down, why was he in the fucking room? Why did y'all ever allow him in the room? You know, Jesus is gonna always be trying to prevent y'all from doing the wrong thing.
Correct.
Anyway, in the next scene, we see Maggie relents, and she lets Tammy see Earl, and then she overhears them talking. She has a little ear hustling, and Tammy and Earl, they had such a
dramatic southern scene. It was some good acting. I love Brett Butler. She was like, oh Earl, I miss you so much. What are you doing over here?
And he's like, oh, you know, I did the wrong thing. I tried to kill that motherfucker. You know, I shouldn't have did it.
And then she's like, Earl, I just want you to know I forgive you. And he was like, I don't need your forgiveness, honey. What I need right now is a drink. No, I'm just kidding. He's a former alcoholic, so he didn't say that, but he was like, I just miss him so much. And they was like, you know, talking about their dead son Ken and mm-hmm. shit. And so then Tammy leaves, and you know, and he also told her that he's sorry because he broke his sobriety by drinking that night at the funeral before he decided to kill Maggie. So then Tammy, you know, goes home and shit. And Maggie goes over to Earl and she's like, Earl, let me ask you a question. What made you stop drinking? And then he had this long sob story that I get it. I know why they write these. You want to give an actor a chance to dehumanize a character and shit. Right. Show the difference between him and some unrepentant asshole like Gregory. But nigga, I hate these stories. Because it's just 2 or 3 minutes of screen time that I'd rather be seeing something else. Like
same,
but you know, I get it. It's not, I'm not knocking the, I get it, but I just don't like these stories. And he was like, you know, I stopped smoking and I started drinking, and this was before the zombie apocalypse, and you know, we had my son Ken, and times was hard and we didn't have enough money. And so one day I was driving down the street and I seen the bar called McDuffie's, and I went in there and got a drink. Then I went to the babysitter to pick up my kid. She smelled alcohol on my breath. She's like, sure you want to drive? And I was like, yeah, I want to drive. And I drove my kid and I ended up pushed off the side of the road, and I called Tammy, and Tammy came pick me up, and I was so ashamed that I quit drinking that day for the rest of my life until the day I was drinking and I tried to kill you. And she said, thank you for telling me a story. And then she got ready to leave. And he said, wait, hold up, I got a question. Why did you kill Gregory but not me? And she was like, pardon me? And he was like, I was drunk, I was weak, but what I did to you was in me. Gregory didn't make me do anything. And Max said, you think I made a mistake? Because I can steal the gallows, steal out, like the rope, the horse.
We didn't tear it down, we ain't burning it.
Like, we can use the same rope we use for Gregory. And he was like, no. And she was like, good. And then she left. So then Michonne and Maggie have a talk on Maggie's balcony. And Michonne says, you know, you did something amazing with this place. And Maggie says they can talk about common laws. And she says she won't give up the right to do best for Hilltop. But she does think it's smart for them to have some laws in common for all the residences.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same across the board.
Yeah. She also said she's giving the saviors all the food without the fuel. And Jesus is counting it up right now. She's also going to let Earl out on work release, basically, which I was like, oh, yeah, they should just do work release. But she's
supervised.
Gonna, yeah, supervised work. Where he can fix the plow and do blacksmithing things. And then she's going to form a council that will let her know when they think it's the right time for Earl to be allowed to be back amongst the people.
And that's fair.
Yeah. I mean, they have to basically rebuild society from the ground up. These are the kind of things I actually do like about the show. I know a lot of people don't like the nuance of this kind of shit, but I always think about, like, how the fuck do you handle that? How do different societies handle everything? That's the only point of the fucking show. Since we know the zombie apocalypse will never end, every time we get introduced to someone or a new subject comes up, the real allegory is, how does this relate to the way we handle things now? So they came up with prison, work release, death penalty, all this stuff at Hilltop. I mean, so then also, Michonne is hearing all this, right? These are all the ideas she had yesterday, and she ain't wanna, like, Maggie ain't wanna listen, so she couldn't help herself. She was like, who is this new white woman before my eyes?
Right, what changed your mind?
Yeah. And Maggie was like, look, you know, my daddy Herschel, he used to drink, and if he hadn't have got a second chance, a lot of people would be dead. And Sean's like, I count myself among them. I would be dead. Cause we stayed at his farm for a little bit or some shit like that. Like
season 2.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. No, Michonne met him at prison. And in prison, Herschel was like teaching them to farm, make food for themselves and all that stuff. Cause I think Michonne didn't show up until they were at the prison.
Okay.
But she counted herself as somebody that he helped.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie says, yeah, so I gave him a second chance. It helped a lot of people. And maybe that'll be Earl. And then she goes another step forward and she's like, but Gregory, that nigga needed to die.
Right.
Because
she was like, everybody can't be redeemed, dog. Like, right. You can redeem the ones you can, but he would have just continued and continued and continued until I was dead. He had to go.
Yeah, she was like, look. Gregory got 15 chances and blew them all.
Yes, he did. I mean, he was a fucking terrible ass person.
And the thing that killed me in this scene was Michonne really wasn't with the shits, because she was on some, like, her face said basically like, oh my God, you're crazy. You killed him. You supposed to say that was wrong. And Maggie's like, nah, because it wasn't.
Right, and I've been telling y'all from the get-go, I didn't regret the decision.
Right, and she's like, well, some people can't be redeemed and others can. And then of course Michonne's like, who makes that decision? And Maggie's like, I guess that's something we gotta figure out.
Right, when you get a council and all that stuff, you can leave it up to a group of people to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. But until the meantime, Maggie like, I'll make the decision.
Right.
All right. Now let's go to the main story, the tent city that is all the people working on the bridge. So they got this camp. Rick's getting updates on the camp, but first he goes to talk to Negan in his cell and catch him up on everything going on in the world. Now this scene literally actually occurs at the end of the night, but they show us the beginning of him sitting down being like, yeah, you know, it's been 35 days and we've been going through a lot, and I just thought I'd catch you up on the things because it's been a while since I've been down here. Now I'm assuming it's the cell in Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I don't know if the
cell Morgan built.
Yeah, I know which cell it is. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if where they are is closer to Alexandria or not.
Okay.
You know. At any rate, they go into the story, which has been 30 days since the coalition started. Rosita, they show like all the stuff happening in the background in the tent city, but Rosita was tracking and handing out weapons to people. Jerry and Nabila came out of the same tent.
They such a cute ass couple.
Y'all may remember Nabila. She's a black woman that worked in the kingdom, who worked on the plants and stuff.
Who didn't fuck with that lion?
Tiger.
I mean tiger.
Yeah, she didn't fuck with the tiger. Anyway, she comes out the tent. She hands Jerry that axe before kissing him.
Yeah, she did.
And I can assume he was using that axe to chop her horticultural Islamic cakes to hijab smithereens.
Come on.
They just brought a smile to my face.
Yes, they did. It was so cute.
Then they also showed like some saviors in the camp too, like the neck tattoo lady Laura was in there.
Mm-hmm.
This chick that had like a short like platinum blonde Cersei haircut. And a couple other people. And then the woman came out of like what looked to be Laura's tent, but I don't know if they were trying to say that was something or not.
Right.
Ezekiel tells young Master William that he's proud of him for working on the bridge fixing crew, because William like, I'm gonna go intern at the bridge. And he's like, it's important, you know, we need the bridge for the communities and trading, and we get bullets from the saviors, and we get this from Hilltop, and we get this from, you know. So while he tells William like, well, go on off my lad and meet me back here, we'll go back to we'll go back to the kingdom later on when you're done, in an hour I think he said. But before he could leave, Carol came over and was like, William, you forgetting something? And he came back and gave her a little kiss on the cheek.
I know, it was so adorable. That's their baby,
right? It was like, all I needed was like a 90s sitcom song to start playing and shit.
She done came 360, honey, because before she was like, get all your kids away from me.
Yeah, but like when she kissed him on the cheek and then Ezekiel held his arm over her shoulder as they watched him walk off towards the bridge, I just expected it to be like, it's a rare condition in this day and age.
Yes! Being in good news
on a newspaper page. I was like it was just like damn near, it was like they could have just did slow motion look into the screen and smile.
And their names flash.
As days go by. Starring Zeke from Detroit as Ezekiel the King. Just smiling at the camera. But yeah, so Zeke says, you know, I actually wish I could stay to help y'all until the last nail in the bridge is hammered. And Carol said, that's the only thing you want to hammer down around here? And he was like, oh, nah, girl, I want to drop that hammer on something else, you know what I'm saying? And they get ready to have some little, like, PDA. But before they could, like, finish, like, start up, like, you know, some like, romanticism and shit looking in each other's eyes, three of the saviors, like, walk by. And we know that Carol is in charge of the saviors now. So she kind of shuts it down. Like they kind of straighten up. Like, oh, people are looking. And I think it's also just Carol is uncomfortable being, quote unquote, soft in front of people at this point. She's built up this personality that has protected her. Is this warrior woman. And I think she doesn't. Part of the reason she does that is to protect herself, and so she never gets tested by anyone again.
Correct.
But it's also just that I think she doesn't really get to be soft in public around anyone anymore. But mm-hmm. I think she likes Ezekiel because she can be soft, and the same way that he had a character that he was playing and she could see through it.
Mm-hmm.
I see this. I think the same thing for her. Cool. Like he looks through her shit.
Same.
Anyway, so he's Carol's like, well, you know, I gotta go get back to the saviors and you gotta get back to the kingdom. And he's like, okay. And then so Eugene gives Rick a status report that when I watched this shit live the first time, I wasn't picking up anything this nigga was putting down, because he be talking in that Eugene speak.
He's talking about the all the supplies and what was happening and all that type of stuff.
But he don't just say, I'm talking about, well, we got this, we got that. It's always like, we got the lumber 10-4 Jadio on the 6-9,
right,
coming down on the pooper scoop, if you know what I mean. Like, no, nobody knows what the fuck you mean.
No, what are we talking about here?
No one talks like that. Everybody would just be like, Eugene, talk regular. But yeah, they have a dam upstream that is enabling them to work on the bridge. The dam is like cobbled together and it has like 6 to 9 more days of structural integrity before that shit breaks. And once that breaks, the water's gonna flow back downstream of the bridge and, they won't be able to fix the bridge in time.
Right, because so, once that water gets there, that's going to be a wrap.
Right, so he said what we can do is reinforce the dam if we hustle up. We got enough time to reinforce the dam so that we won't have to worry about the bridge. And he's also estimating it will take a similar amount of time to finish the bridge either way, 6 to 9 days as well. So then Rosita says there's a herd that's going to come by, but it'll just miss them, and they need to start blasting because I guess some rocks or something have fallen into a roadway, so they need to blast these rocks, but that blast will draw a bigger herd if that herd gets too close.
Yep.
That one thing I did notice in this scene, they started giving herds names like hurricanes. Like she said, you know, Horatio is over here and Margaret is over there. Mm. And I'm like, oh, they're naming them like natural disasters. It's actually kind of cool.
Right.
And they're now tracking the herds from like different distances and stuff, and using like seeing what will attract them and what won't attract them and all that stuff. Eugene gets distracted by watching somebody work while Rosita and Rick are talking. And I noticed what it was the second time. I didn't notice the first time. He was watching that person because they didn't have any fingers on their left hand. The reason they have any fingers on their left hand is probably because of the guns with the messed up bullets that Eugene had rigged. Mm. So that person probably lost their fingers because of that gun, and he felt guilty about it.
Right.
Which, I mean, you gotta figure, it's a bunch of handless motherfuckers just walking around, and you the one that blew up their fingers? Like,
everybody ain't gonna be cool with that.
How do you sleep at night? You know? And knowing him, he probably say something fucked up. Well, I really got to hand it to you on the, oh, I'm sorry. Feel like we're getting off on the wrong hand. I mean, wrong foot. I mean, oh God, don't kill me. Please don't kill me. You know, I start begging and shit. Don't point the finger at me. Oh God, I'm saying and I'm still doing it. So then some saviors, they also talk about some saviors have walked off, and it's now 6 missing saviors. They're like, another savior walked off. And this, and Rick is pissed because he's like, these goddamn saviors, they don't want to work hard. They keep disappearing, leaving and shit because they're going AWOL. And he, you know, but he's trying to keep track of that. Which is interesting because it's like the saviors are the ones complaining about needing shit and they need to put in their work for the bridge. You think they feel bad? It's only been 30 something days. They already like, man, fuck this shit.
Yep, because you're dealing with human beings. Mm-hmm. And people ain't shit.
I swear this show is basically like Rick trying to run the world's largest Facebook group, and I completely understand.
Right, everybody got their own agendas. Everybody trying to do their own thing. Everybody wants your attention. Everybody wants you to come fix shit.
It's like, can't we just all not call each other names? No, motherfucker, I refuse. Kick me out the group then. I start my own group. I hate you now. I'm like, oh no. Mm-hmm.
You're part of the problem.
I still won't be friends on your personal page though. Anyway, so so then the last thing is not last thing. Alexandria has a bug going around, some, I don't know, flu cold. And so Enid has been learning to be a doctor from Sadiq, who apparently I called Saeed last week or something. Saeed, Karen that told me it was the right name too.
You know,
someone wrote us on Twitter to be like, y'all fucked up. Sorry.
Thank you. I didn't make a mistake.
I don't know. I feel like I got that from, close enough.
I
feel like I got that from Lost or something. Anyway, Sadiq is his name. The guy who Carl saved in the woods and got bitten.
Mm-hmm. He's still around.
So Enid is learning to be a doctor from Sadiq, and Rick tells Sadiq, hey, we need you to go back to Alexandria. Some people getting a bug, and Enid, you now in charge of basically medical stuff at the tent.
And I was looking like, oh Lord, you gonna leave an intern in charge?
30 days, learn to be a doctor.
Come on. She was doing better than whatchamacallit girlfriend though.
Who?
Whatchamacallit girlfriend that died. Oh, Morgan had her read the book and shit. Oh, what was Tara's girlfriend?
Oh, Denise.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it was still pretty bad though. So she but she was giving somebody stitches at the time, and she hurt the person's stitches. They were like, Sadiq, I need you to leave. She's like, Sadiq's leaving, you know. And she got nervous, like, and then she was like, no, I got this. And Rick's like, I know you do. And so I'm like, cool. But we also, at that moment, you know, something horrible is going to happen that's going to require her to be a doctor.
You know what? I didn't even think about that at the time. I know that might sound strange, but I was like, oh, okay.
Okay. So, and then the last thing, saviors still need food. And of course, Rick said, I got Michonne working on that. And that was when Michonne showed up in Hilltop, and mm-hmm. I already ran that down for y'all.
Right.
Working on the bridge, Daryl and Aaron are talking about Aaron and that baby he adopted, quote unquote, from the Savior's nursery.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess all this, the baby's parents are dead, because I don't think anyone came to claim that kid.
Mm-mm.
He's just sitting out here with a whole ass kidnapped child.
Ha!
But he said, I went to go pick up the baby and just all this poop came exploding out on my shirt, da da da. But you'll know what it's like. And Daryl's looking at him like, the fuck you mean I'm gonna know what it's like? You heard I got some babies out here?
Didn't nobody told me?
And he's like, nah, you gonna make a great dad, Daryl. And Daryl's looking like, I don't know about all that shit. But before they can get into all that, Master William is serving water down at the bridge, helping people out of a thermos.
Being the best intern he could be.
And that savior named Jared, who we know from Black Sails and Age of the Shield.
He's always evil.
Always plays somebody evil.
His face just looks evil.
He goes to get some water, gets a cup, and then tries to get another cup. William's like, hey man, give the fucking water back. It's a one cup a person. And Jared's like, look, little bitch, give me your shit. Kicks it, push the little kid down.
Right. And he was like, you don't know who my master was.
Right. And then young Master William got up and was like, when you got that glow.
Right. He was like, I learned to sweep the leg, bitch.
You got the glow. You feel the flow. You got the glow.
Come on. He was like, you hit the wrong one today.
You are the last dragon. That nigga jumped up and fucking used that motherfucking stick on Jerry's legs and knocked his ass down and picked up his water and was like, give my water back, bitch.
Right. Didn't I tell you?
My favorite part is that William never looks back. Mm-mm. Like, he didn't turn around. I was like, what you trying to do? Or you, like, he just kept walking like, I got my water back, on to the next person.
Come on. It's people that need water.
Apparently that nigga is a G for that one. I really did not know that.
He was like, I took them lessons seriously.
Right. I did not know that he had learned wax on, wax off, so quickly.
Yeah, he was like, I miss Morgan, and Morgan didn't teach me that shit for nothing.
Right.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's what he said.
So then, Jared, because all the saviors are dick, Jared's laying on the ground and another savior walks by and he's like, you know, don't worry about it. I got beat up by a sixth grader once. When I was in sixth grade, boom, busted, burned.
I know, it was so corny.
It was super corny. But Jared still got mad. I thought he was gonna punch that savior that said that shit to him.
Yeah. But
instead, he got up and was like, nah, I'm about to fuck up that little kid.
Right, the little kid.
Like, for a nigga we've never seen before, Jared got some nerve.
That's why I was like, and you know how you see certain people pop up in the series and you go, you gonna be a motherfucking problem. The second I seen his face, I thought of Agent the Shield, and I was like, he got a duplicate somewhere, he gonna be a motherfucking problem.
Right. So then he goes to try to get to the kid, but Daryl sees it, and you know Daryl's already fed the fuck up with all the saviors.
Right.
So he's like, hey, what you doing? He's just a kid.
He's doing his job. Like, come on now, you fucked with him.
And Jared's like, you ain't my messer. I do what I want to do. You don't lead the saviors no more. You're not my babysitter. Because Daryl decided to step down and let Carol lead them.
Right.
And then he pushes Daryl. Daryl punches him and makes him fall into a pile of dirt. And then he throws some dirt in Daryl's face that gets into his, I guess, hair that's covering his eyes. Mm-hmm. And then they have like a squabble. Rick and Eugene are walking down and they see the fight. Rick runs up on the bridge, gets between them and like, stop, cut it out. Okay, that's enough. You know, like, you know, doing his Rick impression.
I know. Only thing sure would he get like that.
Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Cut the crap!
He did fuck up there like that!
Right? I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I said the only thing, this is one thing, one reason why I miss Carl, because he'd be like, Carl, boy, come over here, we need your help.
Right. So he goes over there like, break it up and all this shit. And they do break it up. He's like, now everybody back to work. Because Rick really needs/wants this to work.
Right.
Meanwhile, back in the tent city, Daryl, Carol, and Rick have another meeting about the saviors. Daryl is essentially fucked all the saviors, killed them all. I don't give a fuck. It's been a while. Kill them. Like my heart is not soft at all for this shit. They made me a slave and you just gonna let this ride. And Rick is like, we need to work with them. They still be redeemed. Not everybody was evil over there. And Daryl's like, enough of them was. So fuck them. And Carol's pretty quiet right there. But eventually, cause Daryl's like, Jared needs to pay for what he did. He's gonna beat up that kid. And I don't think he's wrong at all. But Rick was like, he's a strong worker and we need him back for the work to fix the bridge. Until then, you know, like, I'm gonna just leave him here, even though this shit was wrong. And, you know, after this work is done, we won't have to basically work with this dude anymore. So then, Daryl leaves because he does this thing where he's like, Rick's like, you'll see, man, we just need them to work with us and then they will see that we're all on the same side. And Daryl, for the second week in a row, Daryl's like, are we though? I'm like, these should be good gifts or memes. These,
right.
Like that joint from the last week where I forget what he said exactly, but where he said, thing is, you made him that way, Rick, or something like that.
Yeah, all we know. And Rick looking at him like, is there a motherfucking problem? Let's talk about it.
Right. And so Daryl's like, I'm out. And but for the second week in a row, a woman tries to tell Rick, maybe you should listen to Daryl more than you are. Because Carol stayed behind and was like, he got a point. You know, some of these motherfuckers ain't never gonna learn, Rick.
Right, and everybody ain't on board and everybody not happy. And it might be one of them things where you might have to give them a choice. If you want to leave, leave. If you want to stay, stay.
Right. Meanwhile, in Tent City and slash Jadis, the artist formerly known as Jadis, Ann.
Yes. Man. And I actually love her.
You love Ann now?
Yes, because we ain't talking no robot ebonic junkyard language.
Right. So she made a drawing of a woman for Gabriel. He says it looks like the woman he wanted her to draw. And she says she likes drawing these pictures for people because it's a way she can become part of the community. And she's like, you know, Gabe's like, you are part of the community. She's like, nah, some of y'all reached out to me, Rick, you, Morgan, but not the others. And he was like, they'll come around. And she's like, well, I appreciate you being there. And then she rubs his hand all sexy like.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking him dead in his eye.
And she was.
She was looking like, well, you know what I do to that milky thing on. And so he kind of like smiles or whatever because Gabe ain't really no pimp.
Mm-mm.
And he's like, well, that's what I'm here to be there. I'm here just to be there for people. And she's like, why don't you be there between my legs, Nyoga? And he was like,
I think I need to go.
Jesus, did you call me? But she rubs his hand or whatever. And, you know, it seems kind of like flirtatious or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then Rosita blows up some dynamite to make a rock slide or some shit to clear the road.
All right. And I forgot who was down there with her. I think
it was one of the saviors, right, that had cut her face or something.
All right. And she was like, do we need to move that? Like,
yeah, Rosita's become a munitions expert.
Yes, she has. She
didn't. I don't know when this happened, but like at some point, because this happened last season too, when they blew up the highway.
Yeah, I think she said something about she learned from an old boyfriend or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so she's like a munitions expert up in this piece. So she was like, no, we can stay right here, we don't need to move. And the woman was like, what, you don't trust me? She was like, no. She was like, I don't trust you. If I gave you a knife, you cut my face with it like you did back in the day. Tara's on the crane station on lookout. And she sees a herd of walkers and radios Rick, who she calls Mother Goose because she doesn't like his old call sign or whatever. And she tells them that Horatio is on the way because they heard the explosion. Horatio is one of the herds. It has less than 100 in it, but it's still a herd. And then she tells Jerry, who they call Piper One, to crank up a siren that will lead to her in a direction towards where they want them to go. And then once they get so far, she's gonna radio Piper 2, which is another station that has a siren at it, and then they'll lead her to another direction.
Right.
Okay, that's the plan. As always with all plans on this show, it does not go as planned.
Mm-mm.
So then at the same time that this is happening, Alden, the handsome savior, comes back to Rick to talk about the saviors who went missing And he's like, yeah, so I talked to the saviors at the sanctuary, and none of these people made it back home. So 6 people have left the camp. They're all saviors, but they're not dead. And some of them have families, and no one in the sanctuary even has guns. So where the fuck could they be? And Rick says, as long as they, as long as the people that work for the saviors, work for me, they can be protected. And Alden's like, you know who that sound like, right? Like, so we ain't gonna get no guns, but y'all will offer us protection. And before him and Rick could really have an argument about how it's way fucking different because he ain't bashing in people's heads.
but it's still the same.
Right, right, I guess so.
As a former dictatorship.
Right, I mean, I don't know, that's a tough one. So I'm supposed to let y'all have your guns back even though y'all fucking tried to kill me and everyone I love because a madman ran your... community?
No. I understand that, but you need to do something to get them more involved so they can feel more a part of the community.
I think that's what the bridge is supposed to be.
Okay, but that...
And they're giving them food.
Right, but if something happens and we get attacked, we don't have anything to fight back with.
I know. I mean, that's tough shit. Y'all tried to kill us. It's just not, you know, it's not a good situation where we can be like, all right, we'll keep your guns and we'll talk about this tomorrow.
Right.
Like, I don't trust y'all right now. Y'all tried to kill everyone I love. But nah, I feel you though. I mean, I thought Alden went too far to be like, and it's just like Negan. Like, yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure it would take time, but I'm pretty sure they would have some form of a compromise. I mean, or something. Mm-hmm. And when, as they got interrupted by, Tara, it made me think that, something, you remember the shipment it was supposed to go to Maggie. I was thinking maybe, you know, these
the
missing
ethanol.
Right, these missing people. I was assuming they got attacked by one of these herds.
Mm-hmm. That could totally be possible, or something else.
Possibly something else.
So then, they end up like not getting Piper 2 on the horn, who was supposed to blow a siren to make the herd turn another direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is not, that means the project that they're rushing through the lumber mill to get all the wood to make the bridge, the herd is headed straight there.
Right.
And Aaron and Daryl are there working to get all the lumber and shit. Zombies come up, they start killing zombies. Daryl realizes it's a herd. He's like, it's a herd, run! And so before they can even run, somebody drops the log. 2 saviors get scared. They drop the log that Aaron's holding from the bottom with another guy.
Right.
Aaron pushes the other guy out of the way, saving his life probably, mm-hmm. but getting his arm pinned under the big ass log,
mm-hmm.
in the process. So Aaron now has his arm pinned under a log. He can't go anywhere. Zombies are coming. They're trying to rescue him. Daryl like goes double knife on some zombies, but it's too many. And right before when they get Aaron's arm unpinned, Daryl starts taking him over his shoulder to walk away with him, and the zombie almost bites him. But that's when Rick and the cavalry show up and they kill the zombies. And Rick they have a cool moment where they have like a rolling logs of wood thing, and like they were basically tree trunk size logs.
Yeah, they were huge.
And Rick like shot them off the back of like a trailer, and the logs rolled down a hill and they just crushed all the zombies. But it was some cool special effects.
Yes, it was. It was really neat to watch.
Yeah, I like when they do one of those a week. Like, that's one thing they consistently do. It's like, you never seen a zombie do this shit again. But yeah, it was totally like some G.I. Joe shit. Like, how the G.I. Joes have guns with lasers and bullets, but they always end up like shooting the ceiling and then rocks fall on Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of like that, but with zombies. But, yeah, that damn log death stuff was dope. And so then, after this, of course, they had to take Aaron to Enid's tent to get some medical
the intern doctor.
Yeah, the intern Doogie Howser and shit.
Come on.
They had to take him to Enid's tent to get some medical treatment, and she essentially looks at the instruction manual.
Come on, because she was like, this is what the paper say.
She like, according to this, we need to amputate his arm. Also, I'm missing screws for the instructions to step D.
Come on.
Which way is up on this thing? So she pulls out like a saw and a torch. She's like, we're gonna have to cut his arm off and cauterize the wound, and he can't have any pain meds because it would take too long for them to kick in anyway. So cut his arm off to stop the bleeding.
Cause his arm was fucked up. It was literally crushed.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, what are they gonna do with characters like that? Will you give him a prosthetic arm? Is it gonna be CGI for the rest of the show? Like, how does that work? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she cuts his arm off and Daryl has to hold him the whole time. And Daryl was just talking to this dude about being a new father and all that shit. Mm-hmm. So Daryl, needless to say, is pissed.
Right.
So after the arm's amputated, Daryl leaves the tent and he is looking for who did this inside the main tent with Carol and Rick and them. Carol is cussing out Jared because apparently Jared was supposed to be the one watching the number two, watching section number two, and Carol was like, I don't give a shit what your excuse is. But Daryl's like, you thought she was the bad cop? Nope, nigga, it's me. And he's like, what happened? And the dude's like, man, I didn't know the walkie talkie didn't have any battery life. And he was like, what do you mean having battery life? He's like, it's solar powered, just turn it towards the sun. And he's like, you should have known that, why didn't you check it before you left? And dude's like, it's my fault, we got a crap radio. And that's when Daryl punched the fuck out of his ass and beat him in front of everybody.
Right, because in Daryl's mind, like, you did this shit on purpose.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he's about on purpose. He's just sick of he doesn't like the saviors. The kid tried to beat up Will. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And so then Will actually sees Daryl whooping up on this man's face in front of everybody. And Carol stops him like, stop, that's enough, that's enough. And that's when Carol's like, we'll deal with it, but not like this. And I'm glad Pookie listened to her. But Daryl's like, there's only one way to deal with these assholes, and he said that in front of everybody. So I don't know.
On Discord.
Yeah, the saviors looking at stuff like that, like, these motherfuckers are gonna kill us or what, you know? So then Jared later at night sees Rick walking through the camp in the middle of the night, and he says, hey, you need to put your dog on a leash. And Rick's like, what? And he's like, yeah, put your bitch on a leash. I'm like, oh wow, he really disrespecting Daryl right now. And Rick gives him a rundown of like, you know, I know people like you when I was when I was sheriff or whatever. It was people like you that was always causing trouble and shit every week, and I had to like fucking go down to the Piggly Wiggly and pick your ass up every week
because
you ain't know how to talk to people and do shit right. So you can go and get your shit and get the fuck out of my camp, homeboy. And then dude was like, good, because I want to leave. I'm not waiting till the morning, I'm leaving right now. And Rick's like, well, go on then, get the fuck on out. Which made sense to me. I don't give a fuck. Like, that dude, it made sense that dude wouldn't give a fuck, and it made sense that Rick wanted him gone, but it also was like too little too late because he's already cost Aaron his arm, and Daryl tried to tell him he should have did this shit before this. Keep in mind, all this is in a flashback of what he's telling Negan happened today, so I'm like, is he telling Negan these parts too?
Possibility.
So then Rick goes to visit Aaron in the tent after Aaron has had his arm amputated. By Enid.
Hey, you need to keep your dog on this leash.
Excuse me?
Oh, okay, we watch this too.
You heard me. I bet you yours damn near killed me over nothing.
I know you. See, I used to be a cop. And every Saturday night, I'd pick up some dipshit like you and have to listen to him run his mouth in the back of my car. Every one of them, trying to blame someone else for their own damn problems.
I don't need to listen to this.
Wrong. You're going to stand there and listen to every word. Nah, I gave you the benefit of the doubt. That is done. Now, you pack your shit and get out of here first thing in the morning. If I see your face again, Stitches won't fix what I do to you. Wouldn't stay if you begged me. I'm not waiting till morning either.
Rick, the only Southern cop that ain't racist. I will beat you like a black boy in the back of my patrol car. You understand me? Now get out of here. You just like one of them. That's what it'd be like if I really wrote The Walking Dead.
I'm glad you don't.
Then he goes to see Aaron, who's lost his arm.
Well done. He's gonna be all right.
Yeah. If we can keep the wound from getting infected. But he's still in a lot of pain.
He's holding on, though.
Damn right I am.
Enid, Enid Hauser, MD. And Aaron says, damn right I am. So Daryl gets up from the seat next to the bed to let Rick see. You know, it's also making me wonder. I know this is a thing that probably has gone on for a long time. Everyone is so sure that Daryl is straight. But Daryl's not in the comics.
Mm-mm.
If anything, he's been sort of asexual his entire time on the show.
Yes, he has.
And maybe he is asexual. Maybe that is a thing that is going to come out at some point. But we don't know that he's not gay either.
Right, because he's spent a lot of time with Aaron.
Right, remember when Aaron and Eric invited him over for spaghetti and shit?
Mm-hmm. They spent a lot of time together.
So I don't really know that this couldn't be like some type of thing between him and Aaron or something. We right. don't know anything about Daryl, but and they might just be friends too. I'm not saying that every time
right.
a gay man and a straight man just can't be friends. I'm not saying that, but I don't know. It's just interesting that they've become so close in this last little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the episode.
I'm so sorry this happened to you. We were all supposed to be working together. I thought we were.
I couldn't have known.
I've been pushing everyone hard. I know I have. I put this project first. And you paid the price.
It's worth it. When the dead started to rise, I thought I was seeing the end of everything. But you changed all that, Rick. It's not the end of the world anymore. It's the start of a whole new one. I'll always be glad I was here to be a part of that.
So yeah, so like I said, he goes to visit Aaron in the infirmary, and they had that conversation.
Yeah, and to me, this lets me know that Aaron, like some of the other people, he's all in. He's like, I see the vision, I see what you're trying to accomplish here,
mm-hmm.
and I understand, and don't feel bad because this happened. Nobody could have foreseen this
mm-hmm.
Happening.
And you know, I think Rick was actually kind of surprised because he thought Aaron was going to be bitter and whatever. And like when Aaron was like, it was worth it, and Rick kind of looked up like, the fuck? And Daryl was in the back eavesdropping, ear hustling. And he kind of had a moment where Rick looked back at him to say, like, I know I've been pushing everybody real hard because him and Daryl been disagreeing.
Yes.
Anyway, down by the lake. Father Gabe's supposed to be on lookout duty. He's hanging out with Jadis.
Yes, he is.
Those are frog mating calls. Must be one wild frog party going on out there.
That's how I knew that Gabe was into some freaky shit. He bringing up frog orgies and shit. I'm like, really, really, Gabe? And he was smiling all creepy with that one eye.
That is a strange thing to know. I grew up playing in the woods. It sounds like home to me.
Can I ask you a personal question?
If I said no, would it stop you?
New Jadis is so different.
I love her like this.
Yeah, before this, like, I always thought it was weird when she tried to be like, come on to Rick and looking at Michonne like, I'm gonna take your man. And I'm like, I know she don't never be around when Michonne around. She like, I know I fucked that up. But yes, yeah, it's kind of, but like, I never saw her as a love interest type of character. But then when you see her with Gabe like this, it's like, oh yeah, I can see how, of course somebody would be into her. She hadn't covered in grime and got
oil
that,
and yeah, shit.
You know what I mean? She's not looking like an extra from fucking,
and talking like a robot.
Right, she's not looking like an extra from Mad Max, then yeah, of course she can get it.
Who's that woman you had me draw?
Come on. We don't talk about your past, but mine's fair game.
You can ask me about my past. Just don't ask me to tell you my secrets.
And that is Woman Running Game 101. That shit didn't make no sense.
No,
you can ask me about my past, just don't ask me to tell you about my secrets. The fuck? That's the same thing, Gabe. Be like, well, this is a secret. That's what it meant when you asked me about it and I said I didn't want to talk about it. It was a secret. Move on. But then she played him to his face, and this is how men think because we're stupid. He was like, oh yeah, that's different. No, it's not. It's the same shit, dummy. Did it happen in the past? Oh well, guess what, it is your past and you don't want to talk about it. But this dumbass fell for it.
That what she was? Secret? Forbidden lover, perhaps?
No, it's nothing like that. She was my organist, my church. I cared for her very much. But I was afraid. And I lost her.
Thought priests were celibate.
I'm Episcopalian. I'm not Catholic.
It's like, you can get this dick, okay? You talking about that Catholic shit? Nah, I'm not celibate, girl. I sell a bit of this dick on the side, okay? That's the only thing I'm interested in around here, okay? Spare the rod, if you know what I'm saying, okay? The rod of God.
I won't spare for you.
My vows don't prohibit me from...
And then she put her hand in between his legs and looked him dead in his milky eye.
If that's not stopping you, then what is? He's still afraid? Yes.
And then I expected him to be like... and. It's just that I'm not into white women. And I was like, oh shit. But they didn't go there, guys.
No, they did not.
Not at all.
If that is the case, I'm gonna be very disappointed.
Slobbed her down, y'all. Gabe said a woman ain't touched me in years.
He's supposed to be on duty.
He is supposed to be on duty, that's true. On watch.
I'm supposed to be on watch.
On watch?
And then she's like, watch me suck this dick. And I said, that's why the fuck Savior's been disappearing, because this nigga up here getting blown and shit.
Well, they sneaking behind his back.
Good grief. That's who you put in top on security? Don't he got a problem with the Junkdecons and security in the first place? Ain't he get kidnapped by them?
Right.
The last time he was on security, they came and kidnapped his ass and put him in one of them containers at the fucking junkyard. It was also funny because she counted him and Morgan and Rick as the people who reached out to her. Mm-hmm. Rick got a woman. Morgan left. Gabe the only one left. Mm-hmm. So she fucking him because he was nice to her. You know, everybody else in the group hate her. But she don't know. If she fuck Gabe, they still gonna hate her. Don't nobody like Gabe. The other part of this is, what the fuck is the point of him, being on watch at this point? You put the dude with one good eye on watch.
One good eye.
Like, what is he supposed to do? I don't know about these plans here. So then, everyone gathers in Tent City and they have dinner. and Rick starts telling Negan about like Tent City and how fucking like awesome it is and shit. Let me see if I can play this scene. This is the final scene. It's kind of long, but I'll narrate it for you guys.
Okay, I about some stuff happened when we got here.
It was a hard day.
A lot. It happens at the same time.
Hardest we've had in a while. A man lost his arm. Projects behind schedule. People were at each other's throats.
Getting their dick sucked in the woods.
Thing is, though, bad as it was, when the day was done, they came together. Not all of them, but enough. They chose to be together. You see what I'm getting at? No matter what happens, it's human nature to come together. That's just what we do.
That's a real pretty picture you paint there, Rick. When do I get to see it?
Never. You can die behind these bars. You know that.
Well, then, don't I get some kind of final request? Why don't you bring me?
Don't you ever get tired of acting like you're still in charge?
Do you think just because they had a little weenie roast that you got all this on lock? When it finally goes to shit, and it will, you make sure you come back and you tell me all about that day, too.
We're thriving without you. Building a future, just like I said we would.
Building it for who? For Carl.
Low blow, man.
You don't speak his name.
Your family's gone, Rick. Same as mine. The bridge, it's not the future. It's a monument to the dead. You're not saving the world, Rick. You're just getting it ready for me.
Now, I wonder, the way they filmed that, if Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Andrew Link were even in the same room at the same time.
Probably not.
Because, you know, they could probably do that forever, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I do love their back and forth and shit, philosophically and all that stuff. But, yeah, Negan has a dogma. Negan has a belief system. He's not just some guy who was an opportunist. He truly does believe you got to kill people and keep them in line and shit. And Rick, the same story that Rick is telling of we all came together at the end, to Negan is like, if you would have just fucking bashed Jared's head in, made an example of him that morning, you wouldn't have had the rest of this shit. But they're not scared of you, so you end up with motherfuckers losing an arm and shit because you don't have these people in line, and you got Daryl mad because you won't put them in line. So I can see how Negan's look at this shit totally different than Rick. Then we get Jadis, who's in the lookout tower at night, and a helicopter flies over.
This is the very last scene, right?
Second to last,
okay.
A helicopter flies over as she's making on those fucking cat art projects. And she doesn't report the helicopter to anyone. Or she clearly sees the helicopter. And we do know that at the junkyard, she was waiting on a helicopter to come get her.
Mm-hmm.
So what does she and this helicopter have in common?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a big mystery to me. And we've been seeing helicopters for seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
With no explanation, really.
We should be getting some soon.
She did look shook, but she did not tell anyone. She looked more worried that somebody might see that she saw it. So then we get Jared, who decides, I'm walking home back to the Saviors in the middle of the night, cause fuck them other Saviors that went missing and fuck this camp. I'm tired of getting my ass whooped. So let's see. Try and get to play again. Ah, we were doing so good. Did it just start over? What the fuck?
No, look, it's refreshing.
Okay. Oh, and he's drunk too. He's drinking a beer.
Damn near got yourself killed. What the hell are you?
And something happened to him. We don't know what.
Mm-mm. I'm assuming that's another savior.
Yeah,
it was a hard day.
I'm sorry. We do know that he knows whoever did that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like relaxed and relieved once he's realized, oh, it's somebody I know. But by that same token, it does not seem to be a good thing that whatever happened to him. It also was super corny. Like, can I just say, the way they did the graphic of whatever happened to him was super corny.
Yes.
Like, they don't show any physical contact with anything. They make a sound like he got hit. They don't show what hit him, what could have done that. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of, like, zooms out of the picture.
Right, jerks off screen.
Yeah, that was kind of whack. You know, so... Trey asks, is the helicopter real? Well, we know the helicopter was real, the one that she was trying to get when Negan stopped her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know, so we Negan was there for that time the helicopter came, so she ain't making that shit up. But I had that same thought to when I saw this episode. I was like, oh, because she had been making it up. And I was like, oh wait, Negan saw it, so unless this is a different helicopter or some shit, I doubt she's just crazy, right? All right, so let's get into the emails for the week.
No, you skipped the whole piece. What about when Ezekiel was talking to Carol at the camp?
Oh shit, you're right.
That's why I was like, we missing something.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, everyone. Oh,
no problem.
Ezekiel and Carol, while they're sitting around the fire and everybody's looking at each other and having a good time eating the food that they've gotten or whatever, Ezekiel's like, hey, Carol's like, hey, what you do with that ring? And he's like, oh, I still got it. And then she was like, well, let me see it, I want to try it on. And he's like, oh, okay. And he pulls out the ring, gets ready to propose. She's like, nope, don't propose, just give me the ring. And he's like, okay, but let me just get on one knee. She's like, no, don't get on one knee. Just
she didn't want to make a scene.
Just give me the ring. I just want to put it on. So he gives her the ring. She puts it on. And he's like, but I prepared a speech. And she was like, I bet you did. And so now they married. He was smiling and looking her in the face.
I know, that was so cute.
Yeah, Carol's not a person that is big on a bunch of pomp and circumstance as right. Ezekiel is.
Right.
And she didn't let him say shit. And got married, so
he was happy, he didn't care.
Yeah, I do like that he was happy. All right, let's get into the feedback. We got three different ones.
Okay.
Miss Martikins wrote in two of them. She says, well, I didn't make it to the Walking Dead Wednesday, trying to watch over here is a struggle, lol. Anyway, Maggie and Daryl were not wrong about killing Negan, and maybe some of the generals who terrorized people as well, but the regular people who lived there and were taken care of didn't see anything and are for the most part innocent. It has been 2 years, two whole ass years, and they are writing them as if it is the day after Rick didn't kill Negan. Come on. Oh, it's been 2 years?
I don't know, that they didn't put time, I didn't see a time frame.
Yeah, I don't know if it's been 2 years. I don't remember them saying it was 2 years.
Me either.
The chat room, did they say it was 2 years? Or any of y'all remember if they said it was 2 years after the thing? I can't remember. It's probably okay. Yeah, so so it's been 2 years according to the chat. Yeah, I don't know how I missed it.
Me either. I didn't remember anybody saying it or something. It may have flashed across the screen.
Yeah, yeah. So, two whole last years, and they're writing them as if it's the day after Rick didn't kill Negan. Come on. Y'all still fresh mad? Still mad mad? Who is that mad for 2 years and keeps the same energy that long? Listen, if you can see some of the Facebook beefs I have seen.
That have lasted for almost a damn near decade.
I still got people blocked from the wars of 2010, okay?
Come on.
Like, that should have been addressed in 90 days or less. Like, we aren't going to have these partnerships to provide food for those in sanctuary and all that are for a whole, and all that for a whole 2 years to stay mad. Get over it or part ways. She's still mad at Michonne too, who, by the way, lost her husband and kids and didn't stay mad for a long while too, but it wasn't directed at anyone because she didn't have anyone. And from Negan's standpoint, y'all just murdered the folks at my outpost, so I'm going to murder some of y'all back. And Daryl is the direct reason that Glenn got smashed smithereens by Negan, and now they are mad at Rick. Daryl needs some PTSD counseling anyway. Why was he in charge of anything? I agree with everything you just said. For the most part, I can't really think of any holes in that logic. The only thing I will say is Maggie doesn't really seem mad at Michonne to me anymore. Mm-mm. Now the big picture is you need human allies against zombies. Not to mention Rick and company, including Maggie, have not always been on the moral high ground. And maybe Rick sees that, and that's what why he wanted to start over. I just think, honestly, Carl's death had a profound effect on Rick.
It did.
And it didn't have to, and because he did, his son did not die with anything related to Negan. Like, his son essentially died being the opposite of what Rick wanted him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Being helpful.
Right. And they got a doctor because he was helpful.
Right. And the letters and all the stuff that he wrote essentially made Rick fold on his whole, I'm gonna kill these motherfuckers plan. That's it. And it was like up to the last minute, he was going to kill that nigga. And he just changed his mind at the last fucking second. Like, this is not the vision my son wanted for the future. Now, I don't have kids. Maybe that doesn't mean shit to people. I don't know. But that's the story writing. Maggie and Daryl are valid in how they feel, but this whole sulky and sneaky shit is not how you handle it. Michonne is still the MVP though. Also, it looks like a prison because it should be. You were eating off of the oppression of other communities. You got to struggle like everyone else. Tough. Yeah, I'm not as inclined to be so sympathetic towards the saviors either. It just seems kind of like, okay, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, I get that they need to eat and shit because y'all have decided that they are going to be in the group, or Riggins decided, but this whole like, y'all gonna be assholes, not work hard on the projects, talk any old kind of way, beat up the kids, that I will cut your hand off. What the fuck is wrong with you? So, like, there has to be some rules in place. Everything can't be a talking to, Rick. And the same thing with Maggie and motherfuckers trying to kill her at Hilltop. I get what Michonne trying to say, but no.
You gotta set an example.
So, there has to be some rules to this shit that aren't just, well, we need a plow, so we gotta let a murderer free. A guy who tried to kill me and my baby free. Ms. Martikins also says, bonjour, hope I'm making the time for the show. My thoughts on the episode. I have never been so ready for Negan and all the We Are Negan suckers to die. I guess Carol is remarried now. Yeah, I guess so. People on the interwebs are so hyped that Aaron looks like comic book Rick, complete with one arm, though no one thinks he will be a new leader. Yeah, that's interesting, man. Like, if they decide to go there and make Aaron kind of the Rick of the show, that would be interesting.
You never know.
I really like this episode. I enjoyed Daryl's badassery and the dancery. I wish he had got to kill him, honestly. That would have took it to the next level. But I don't think that Saber's dead either, so I guess.
Mm-mm.
Because I was going to say, if y'all going to kill him anyway, let Daryl do it, but I don't think he's dead.
No, he's not.
Why do you think Rick talks to Negan? I think both of them like monologuing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's something about both of their philosophies that they don't want to just win the power struggle. They want their philosophy to be the correct philosophy. It's like when you see people that are socialists on social media go around harassing and talking to other people about it. They want to win a philosophical battle in which other people are not going to relent or even be playing that game with them.
Right.
But that's Rick and Negan to me, is no, this is my way and I'm gonna keep you alive so you can see my way is the right way. And both of them was on that bullshit. And since he decided not to kill Negan, he did tell him he gonna die in that cell, so it ain't like he is necessarily mercy either. Like, it could be considered something else.
Agreed.
Even though Rick labels it mercy. People on oh, do you think Michonne could be the new leader?
Possibility. I don't know where they're gonna go, what direction they're gonna go in.
I say yes. Is the old Hillary Clinton lady, is she the one in the with the helicopter? She is the one who sends Maggie letters and is asking to join them.
I don't think she's the one with the helicopter. I think that's a completely different group.
Okay. She definitely is the one sending the letters. That was her name, Georgie. Love to show y'all, and the fact that you don't hate watch unironically, I don't get people who watch to rant and complain. Me. Hey, different strokes for different folks, man.
Yep, thank you.
Some people hate watch it and they want to listen to other people hate watch it. Some people will just listen to anything people review and recap. Because what we're really selling is our personalities and our points of view. And if there was something we hate watch, there would be people who would love to hear that just because they like us.
Yes.
And that's fine. You know, I think the way I'm geared personally, I don't ever want to hate watch something just because I don't have enough time. Like, there's too much good shit that I can't watch that I wouldn't want to spend my time watching bad shit that I didn't like.
Agreed.
I don't mind watching bad shit that I do like.
Yeah, right.
But
same.
If I'm gonna watch some bad shit, I need to like it. I don't want to watch something bad and be like, this shit sucks, you know? Which I do understand. Some people kind of can't quit Walking Dead, but I feel like we're at that point now where people are gonna start hopping off. Miss Smart writes in, Karen, greetings. I'm writing because of the last couple of seasons, your husband, Rod, has tried to shame me for my innovative idea to build a well-fed, efficient labor source used primarily for farming and infrastructure upkeep. I believe he kept calling it, quote-unquote, slavery. For the record, slavery isn't a choice. My workforce is showing up to do the work by choice in exchange for pay in the form of life-sustaining resources. That is literally a choice. That's what Kanye, that's what Kanye said. Slavery is a choice, and we all know he's correct. Get that on a shirt. Giving handouts has done nothing but keep the saviors alive and useless, skimmed resources from other hardworking communities, and put a wedge between Maggie and Rick. My idea is not the one that led us to the current conflict. Had my idea been implemented day one, the bridge wouldn't have been so weak that a few sacks of skin and bones could destroy it, and they would already be beyond the pending savior revolt. Well, in all fairness, your plan was just Negan's plan, and it didn't work. I'd like my name to be cleared. Impossible. We can all agree. She's our own Jeff Sessions, guys. The Jeff Sessions of the Blackout Tip. We can all agree, as we have watched it play out.
I want my voice to be heard.
Right. My idea actually is the one that makes the most sense. Cheers, Miss Smart. She's a genius.
Oh, thank you for writing in. We love you.
An evil genius, all the same. Karen, what are you looking forward to next week?
I want to see what the missing saviors are doing, because I think that dude got yanked by one of the missing saviors. I kind of want to see how Rick's going to respond to all the things that's going on, because eventually, you know, it's probably going to get back to him about you know, because him and Daryl is falling out, and Maggie, and then, you know, he gonna find out he got an engagement on his hands, or a marriage on his hands, you know, with two people in leadership being married. How's that gonna affect the group? Are they gonna treat Carol different? You know, is Carol gonna have to whoop somebody's ass, because they probably gonna challenge her? So it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this shit coming to a head, because I feel like this bridge and this little timetable of 7 to 9 days or whatever, that shit is going to, something's gonna happen on that bridge or involving that bridge. Also, I want to know the mystery of the missing saviors.
Right.
Like, is someone kidnapping them? Are they going off in the woods grouping up together? Who the fuck knocked the Jared out that Jared recognized before he got knocked out? Or could it possibly be still hanging out there, the Whisperers? I know we haven't seen them on the show before, but at some point they're gonna show up, and the Whisperers, the way they operate, like, they wear zombie, like, the mask, and they smell like the zombies and shit like that. could they already be doing something to people and we don't know yet?
Right.
Shit, could the saviors become the whisperers? I don't know.
Right. You don't know.
Miss Smart brings up Dwight. Could it be Dwight? You know? Dr. Dre. I don't think it's Dr. Dre. What the fuck is up with her? He could come back, right?
Like, yeah, 20, he can come back.
24 didn't work. He come back with a fresh haircut. We could pretend like them dreads never happened.
You know what? I guarantee you he's gonna be a part of another group.
Yeah, what was his name? Heath?
Heath, yeah. Yeah, he gonna be part of Salad Jesse Raphael Clinton group.
Yeah, maybe that's when we'll see him again. Alright guys, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to our Walking Dead recap. We had fun. Hope you had fun. If not, I'm sorry you didn't have any fun. Tomorrow we'll be doing Balls Deep. I'll talk to Bossy about this too much. I'm expecting maybe Friday. But that's it. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.